Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Village Farm International's year-end 2017 financial results conference call. Earlier today, Village Farms issued a news release reporting its financial results for the year ending December 31, 2017. That news release, along with the company's financial statements, are available on SEDAR and on the company's website at villagefarms.com under the Investors heading. Please note that today's call is being broadcast live over the Internet and will be archived for replay both by telephone and via the Internet beginning approximately 1 hour following completion of the call. Details of how to access the replays are available in yesterday's news release. Before we begin, let me remind you that forward-looking statements may be made today during or after the formal part of this conference call. Certain material assumptions are applied in providing these statements, many of which are beyond our control. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied in forward-looking statements. A summary of these underlying assumptions, risks, and uncertainties is contained in our various security filings, including Village Farms' current annual information form for the year ended December 31, 2017, and MD&A for the quarter ended December 31, 2017, and the press release issued by Village Farms and Emerald announcing the joint venture, all of which are available on SEDAR. These forward-looking statements are made as of today's date, and except as required by applicable security law, we undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any such statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Michael DiGiulio, Chief Executive Officer of Village Farm International. Please go ahead, Mr. DiGiulio.
Thank you, Chantel. And thank you to everyone on the phone and listening on the Internet for joining us today. With me for today's call is Village Farms Chief Financial Officer, Stefano Ruffini. In terms of the agenda for today's call, I'll begin with an update on a significant progress that Pure Sun Farms, our joint venture for large-scale, high-quality, low-cost cannabis production, has made towards beginning commercial production. Steve will then do a brief review of our fourth quarter and year-end financial results. I'll return to some concluding comments before Steve and I take your questions. But before I begin, I would like to explain and have your understanding for any inconvenience caused by the rescheduling of our year-end reporting and conference call. We have historically, the last 12 years on a TSX, reported our year-end results in mid-March as per our original scheduled dates. However, we underestimated the amount of accounting paperwork involved in finalizing the year-end financial statements during the first fiscal year of our cannabis joint venture, Pure Sun Farms, and rolling up their numbers to Village Farms. While we are still within the regulatory deadline, in hindsight, we should have given ourselves a bit more time than our originally scheduled reporting dates. Going forward, we will be reporting at or towards the end of each filing period to allow for sufficient time to consolidate those numbers at Village Farms. Any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer that in the Q&A. So moving forward, let me begin today's call with an update on Pure Sun Farms. The last few months, we have continued to be very busy and very productive. We have accomplished a tremendous amount in a very short period of time. It was only 16 months ago that Village Farms formally made the internal decision to leverage its existing large-scale greenhouse assets and three decades of low-cost operating expertise to pursue the transformational opportunity in cannabis production, and to do so through an accretive joint venture strategy, providing the benefit of both capital efficiency and speed to market. We then embarked on an extensive search for the right partner, discussed the opportunity with numerous licensed producers in Canada, and within 6 months of beginning our search, chose Emerald Health, and likewise, they accepted and chose us. We publicly announced our entry into the cannabis industry last June and immediately began planning for conversion of the first 1.1 million square foot greenhouse, the Delta 3 greenhouse, on the same footprint of a total of about 5 million square feet. And with the benefit of our partner's regulatory experience, we began preparing our application for a cultivation license. We submitted our application in September of last year and immediately set work on the physical conversion of the facility. Over the ensuing months, the Pure Sun Farms development team worked tirelessly on the conversion of the facility such that In early February, the final submission was made to Health Canada for issuance of a cultivation license. Late on March 2nd of this year, Pure Sunfarms received notice that Health Canada issued the cultivation license for the Delta 3 facility. Conversion of Delta 3 is substantially complete in the first 250,000 square foot quadrant, and as a result, we remain firmly on track to begin commercial development this quarter. Since announcing our entry into the Canadian cannabis industry last June, Pure Sunfarms has consistently executed on every facet of the development and licensing plan, successfully achieving each of the milestones we set out for the company on the schedule we publicly communicated. It's a testament to the team's experience, know-how, and discipline, as well as their tireless effort. Moreover, I'm immensely proud of the considerable contribution that many experienced personnel throughout the Village Farms team have made to the Pure Sunfarms startup while continuing to drive the success of our incumbent produce business. From day one, Village Farms has pursued the significant opportunity in cannabis in Canada as a prudent, capital-efficient manner, cognizant of our fiduciary responsibilities to our shareholders. It's the manner in which we have always approached the governance of our produce business. The conversion of the Delta 3 facility embodies this approach, balancing optimal design with capital efficiency to maximize return on investment. Village Farms has been at the leading edge of large-scale, high-technology greenhouse design for nearly three decades. We have designed, engineered, built, and retrofitted greenhouses to grow a long list of different agriculture products in some of the most challenging growing environments in various countries in the world. With the benefit of this knowledge and experience, the Pure Sunfarms development team paid meticulous attention to the growing environment and systems, processing area, and production ramp-up, with a particular focus on management of climate and contaminants, optimizing yield, maximizing efficiencies to achieve consistent, continuous year-round production at the lowest cost of production. Some of the key elements of the design, conversion, operation include growing systems with automation proven to provide optimal efficiencies, industry-leading HVAC systems reflecting hundreds of aggregate years of climate management experience with technically advanced data systems, high-tech light deprivation and light supplementation systems with individual control over 17 growing zones within the 1.1 million square footprint. Fully automated 90,000 square foot nursery capable of supplying the Delta 3 facility as well as the 1.1 square foot Delta 2 facility should Pure Sunfarms exercise this option to purchase that facility. And finally, we made complete core upgrades to the facility infrastructure, including all new underground main heating pipes, main water systems, and much more. Importantly, the Delta 3 greenhouse has been configured for continuous weekly harvesting throughout the year, maximizing operational efficiencies and flexibility to adapt to a nascent and evolving cannabis market. Our design will consist of 17 zones, half of them at 67,000 square feet and half at 33,000 square feet for maximum flexibility and strains. Each zone will harvest five times per year for a total of approximately 85 harvests per year on a continuous basis. We now move into production with the benefit of Village Farms' long operating history, specifically at the Delta 3 facility, including an established management team, labor force, and proven proprietary labor tracking systems. As a result, Pure Sunfarms is well positioned to be a consistent and reliable supplier of quality cannabis and cannabis products to wholesale distributors, retailers across Canada and internationally. I will also note that the Delta 3 facility is located in one of the best, if not the best, growing environments in all of Canada. An abundance of sunlight throughout the summer, very low humidity temperature in the summer, not too cold in the winter, as you know, very little snow. Moreover, Village Farms brings with it the benefit of two decades of microclimate data at that specific facility. And as you all know, BC Grown speaks for itself, and that's the reason it is so well accepted, is because of the growing climate there in Canada. All of this positions Pure Sunfarms for successful production ramp-up and to achieve our goal to be the low-cost producer in Canada at an all-in cost, including depreciation, of under a dollar. It's something that we believe will be essential to the long-term, maybe even short-term, success in the Canadian cannabis industry as it will commoditize out at some point in time. There's no other group in Canada with more experience and expertise managing labor and other production costs in large-scale growing operations than the Village Farms team now working at the Pure Sun Farms greenhouse. Let me now quickly turn to our incumbent produce business. Sales for 2017 increased 3% to $158.4 million, the result of higher revenues from our partner relationships and higher volumes of our own product. This was particularly offset by a decrease in the selling price of product from our own facilities. And EBITDA did decrease 17% as we continue to experience pricing pressure on our commoditized varieties as well as higher external costs. In this continuing challenging environment, I'm pleased to report that we once again lowered our production costs per pound at our own facilities, the seventh in the last 8 quarters that we have achieved this. And this demonstrates one of the culture, our culture of low-cost production that has become ingrained in our produce business and which we know will be integral to the success in the cannabis industry at Pure Sun Farms. Diversification into cannabis is a transformational opportunity for Village Farms, one that allows us to deploy existing greenhouse assets and decades of proven operating capabilities to significantly more profitable agricultural product, be it in the regulated industry or not, and deliver markedly greater long-term value for our shareholders. The conversion of the Delta 3 facility, which represented approximately 10% of our total greenhouse-owned assets prior to the contribution to Pure Sun Farms, would generate more revenue from cannabis than Village Farms' entire produce business, even at conservative market pricing, and yield significantly greater EBITDA margins in excess of 50%. And as I'll discuss in a few minutes, Delta 3 is just the beginning of this opportunity. I'd like to now turn the call over to Steve to walk through the financial results in detail. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. In the interest of time, I'm going to confine my remarks to the key financial metrics for the relevant periods. Our complete fourth quarter and full year 2017 financial results and discussions are available on our MD&A and financial statements, which are posted on our website and filed with SEDAR this morning. I'm happy to go into more detail on the Q&A at the end of the call, or if you want to call me after the conference call, that's fine as well. I'll remind you all the numbers that we discussed today are in U.S. dollars unless otherwise stated. Sales for the fourth quarter of 2017 were $36.9 million, a decline of 1% from $37.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2016. For the full year, sales increased 3% to $158.4 million from $155.5 million from the prior year in 2016. Overall, the cost of sales for Q4 were essentially unchanged from the same period last year at $31.9 million. Cost per pound at the Village Farms owned facilities in Q4, however, decreased 2% year over year, making it our seventh quarter of improvement in the last eight, as Mike has mentioned. Cost of sales for the full year increased 3% to $144.4 million from $140.8 million in 2016, with cost per pound at our own facilities decreasing 1% year-on-year. Selling, general, and administrative expenses for Q4 increased by 4% to $4 million from $38.2 million for the full year, increased 3% to $13.9 million from $13.5 million, so $400,000 increase. We reported a net loss for the fourth quarter of 2017 of $600,000, or a loss of 2 cents per share, which compares to net income of $500,000 or 1 cent per share in the same period of last year. For the full year, we reported net income of $3.8 million or 10 cents per share compared to a net loss in 2016 of $2 million or 5 cents a share. EBITDA for the fourth quarter was $2.6 million compared to $3.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2016, while EBITDA for the full year was $7.4 million compared to the 2016 figure of $9.4 million. Turning to the balance sheet, long-term debt at the end of 2017 was $38.6 million, down from $45.5 million at the end of 2016. During the fourth quarter, the company completed a bought deal equity offering of 2.5 million shares at a price of $5.40 Canadian, resulting in gross proceeds of $13.5 million. We used $4 million U.S. of net proceeds to pay down part of our long-term debt with Farm Credit of Canada, which allowed us to remove the Delta 2 facility from the existing collateral package. It is a requirement under the joint venture agreement that Pure Sun Farms, if it were to exercise its option, the Delta 2 greenhouse, that the greenhouse be contributed to Pure Sun Farms on an unencumbered basis. Hence, we're just getting ourselves in a position to be able to do that last year, if that were to occur in 2018. That concludes my remarks. Now I'll turn the call back over to Mike.
Thanks, Steve. 2018 promises to continue to be a busy and exciting time for Village Farms as our Pure Sun Farms cannabis joint venture continues to steadily progress towards becoming a leading, fully integrated supplier of dried cannabis and extracted cannabis products in the future in Canada. Our mission is to set the standard for repeatedly delivering expected quantities and consistent quality with full regulatory compliance at a very competitive price, and we will do so as the low-cost provider in the country. Upon receipt of the cultivation license for Delta 3, Pure Sun Farms immediately brought in starter plants, initiated two test growth cycles required by Health Canada for our sales license, which we are doing concurrently. In addition, in the next few weeks, we will finalize conversion of the entire first 250,000-square-foot quadrant of the 1.1-million-square-foot Delta 3 facility. And we are making tremendous progress on the remaining three quadrants, looking to plant out the second 250,000 square feet around August of this year. All of this firmly positions Pure Sun Farms to begin generating its first revenue and cash flows from the sale of cannabis as soon as this summer. Conversion of the remaining 1.1 million square feet of Delta 3 is underway, as I mentioned, and on schedule. We'll continue to expect to achieve our conservative full production target of 75,000 kilograms or approximately 65 grams per square foot annually in 2020. That said, throughout a long history, Village Farms has had a relentless focus on generating more production from our fixed cost base. We are always looking to improve our yields and lower our costs on a per square meter or per square foot basis. With the conversion of the first quadrant of Delta 3 greenhouse almost complete, Village Farms' model and proposed a strategy to Pure Sun Farms that's been accepted that will significantly and accretively accelerate the production ramp-up plan for Delta 3. A major limiting factor is the speed of the production ramp-up of Delta 3 has always been on the availability of adequate electrical power to supplement lighting during the winter without having to purchase cogeneration. We, as discussed in our last call, we have secured 48 megawatts from the local utility, enough to power Delta 3 and even Delta 2 should it ever come to fruition, and should Pure Sun Farms exercise the option on Delta 2. The power of Delta 3, however, won't be available until mid-2019, and we don't actually need supplemental lighting in the summer period, so that'll go fully operational by the third quarter of 2019. So our acceleration strategy, if one involves temporarily renting generation equipment through the winter months at the end of this year, 2018, and the beginning of 2019, the power supplemental lighting systems we've installed. Successful execution of this plan is expected to increase Pure Sun Farms' production target for 2019 up to 30% over the current 2019 target of 35,000 to 40,000 kilograms, which we previously stated. Under the joint venture agreement, receipt of the cultivation license for Delta 3 now allows Pure Sun Farms to, at any time, exercise the option on either the 1.1 million square foot Delta 2 or 2.6 million square foot Delta 1 facilities. As Steve discussed earlier, a portion of the proceeds of the December capital raise were used to pay down the term loan, which enabled us to remove the Delta 2 facility as collateral on that loan, such that it's free of any encumbrance, which it currently is, and can be contributed. The terms for each are similar to those for Delta 3, such that Village Farms will contribute the facility to the joint venture in kind, and our partner would be required to contribute cash. which would fund a substantial portion of the conversion of either facility for cannabis production. I want to be clear that the planned acceleration of the production ramp up at Delta 3 does not impact any move forward at some time on the Delta 2 facility. That decision has not been made at this point, and it is fully planted out with currently tomatoes in that facility. The addition of Delta 2 would double Pure Sunfarms' annual output production to a conservative 150,000 kilograms annually, and the addition of Delta 1 would double it again to 300,000. It would not only make Pure Sunfarms one of the largest cannabis producers in Canada, but the combined facility would be by far the largest single-site cannabis production operation in existence and benefit from the unique economies of scale that such a massive operation on one footprint would yield. Since entering the cannabis space in Canada, there's been no shortage of interest in Pure Sunfarms' anticipated output in 2018. With the cultivation license, we are now actively engaged in discussions around our supply agreements for the initial production. That said, we will be prudent in our order to maximize the return on our investment. Looking out further than 2018, Pure Sunfarms fully intends to be a fully integrated supplier. The joint venture has intentionally held back making definitive decisions in this regard as the Canadian regulatory landscape continues to develop, but that will accelerate this year. In fact, Pure Sunfarms has now begun a search for President CEO to oversee the build-out of product development and marketing distribution strategies. With that, I'd like to open up the call to any questions. Thank you.
At this time, in order to ask a question, press star, then number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Francesco Pellegrino with Sidoti & Company. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So just a quick question about a comment you made on closing it out about no management team in place at Pure Sun at the JV. What impact does this necessarily have on the decision to contribute Delta 2? Are you going to be waiting for a management team to be in place to make that decision, or are there ongoing discussions right now in regards to maybe expediting that process?
Well, I can't reflect that there's ongoing discussions on Delta 2, but I can say that the management team, you know, of product development and our CEO, I mean, we're operating as an executive management team now, both Emerald and Village Farms in steering Pure Sun Farm. So bringing in that team now is, as I mentioned, looking at the landscape as far as distribution and how it will be distributed. We're pretty solid where that's going now, so we're recruiting for those senior positions. But all the other positions at Delta 1 from an operation, I mean Delta 3 from an operation perspective, and the same would be true for Delta 2 from an operational perspective, are there and in place, including the whole finance team and human resources team. So that would not be an impact. Hiring those folks would have no, and that's not the reason for not triggering Delta 2. Just as a reminder, Delta 2 or Delta 1, as far as that being optioned, that wasn't even possible till about just over 3 weeks ago, because it really was after Delta 3 got its license. So it's just been in the last few weeks that the possibility even came available. So we don't look at it as that we're procrastinating. And the schedule for any of these conversions, you know, we know what that schedule would be in ending an existing crop and converting it over to Pure Sun Farms into cannabis.
Got it. The 2019 increase for production that you guys put in your press release, what's the marginal cost of this increase in, and I assume it's all yield as compared to revision to estimates or timing? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's all yield output. So, of course, there are, you know, it's like all agricultural crops, you know, it's a variable cost business. So, I mean, it's a fixed cost business to a high degree in that, in this case, you're not utilizing more fertilizer, more strains. You're just increasing the output. To do so, it's providing supplemental lighting is the major input. So there's no capital costs associated with that, but there is operating costs because we would be generating supplemental lighting, and really electricity is the main cost that would come in to bear, increasing that yield. But most of the other costs, with the exception of additional labor because you have additional production, those variable components are the smaller percentage of the increase in cost.
And the increase in your yield assumption, this would be margin accretive, right? After considering the increase for the rental equipment, the increase in more workers, we would see a margin uplift, hopefully, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it goes back to always looking, you know, when you look at either building new or even converting, but how can you always maximize your output, either by cutting costs? Because, again, on a fixed cost business, if you cut your cost 1 cent, it goes to the bottom line. If you increase your production, you know, 1 gram, it goes to the bottom line because the variable costs are so small. So it's very accretive in this case because all our other costs are fixed. We're just increasing certain costs tied to that increase in yield. So it's very accretive.
And just a question about the tax treatment for the greenhouse contributions to the partnership. Are these items, because you're contributing depreciated assets, are they triggering any type of taxable gain, or are you able to utilize some sort of like a Section 1030 or one or something to protect any gain in regards to, I think, the Delta 3 contribution triggered a step up in fair market value, and I was just wondering what the treatment has been, what this treatment could be for Delta 2 and Delta 1.
Steve, you want to answer that?
Yeah, the treatments for book and tax will be very similar with respect to Delta 2 and Delta 1 if and when those options are exercised. So we'll just leave it at that for now.
Got it. And just my last question for you guys is, you guys have done a really great job of sort of not diluting out shareholder value. Obviously, there was that equity raise you guys did to decollateralize Delta 2. Obviously, there's probably an amount that needs to be decollateralized for Delta 1 as well. A year, 2 years from now, just looking at a really strong balance sheet, what would be the priorities for cash? Is there the ability to move downstream, just given how much volume you guys are going to be doing of cannabis, to maybe have large-scale oil extraction capabilities? I just see a company with a really strong balance sheet and potentially flush with cash, and I was just wondering what those priorities would be. I'll jump back into that. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're clearly, you know, extraction's clearly on our radar screen sooner than later, so we're moving forward in that direction. And I think, you know, our approach has always been we don't take dilution of our shareholders very lightly. So, again, the way the conversions of the other two facilities, if and when they happen, are based on a significant contribution from our partner, Emerald Health. And as I mentioned, that would go a long way to pay for those conversions. And that, you know, that is sort of fungible, those funds, because part of it going into post-harvest or extraction equipment is all part of it. We have great relationships with banks that we've had for many, many years, and we expect to continue looking at bringing in bank debt where it makes sense over raising equity, and those discussions are currently ongoing right now as well. So I hope that answers the question.
It does. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Bahan Ajamian with Deakin Securities. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, guys. There's just a couple of questions on my end. You're still confident that you'll be able to get your sales license in and around the July timeframe, now that plants are in?
Well, I think, you know, Health Canada, you know, if you look at last year's, I mean, there's been about 45 cultivation licenses issued in 17, and not too many sales licenses this year. I think most to second sales license for existing LPs. Some of the LPs where we fit in, but some of the other LPs that are new, it takes time. So We remain fairly confident by the end of the summer we'll be there, but you know, it's more a chunk of that is more not in our control. So, but that's but we feel confident at this point. But yeah, I guess it could always fly behind.
Gotcha. Okay. And you mentioned you know, preliminary discussions regarding offtake agreements. You know, for the production that's going to be coming, any color you can give, or you know, are the interested parties more, you know, licensed producers? Are they more, you know, in-store retailers like the, you know, the governments in Ontario and Quebec, or are they more kind of private sector retailers out west? And how many people have expressed interest? Can you give any color like that?
You know, I'd rather not give too much color on that. I can only say that we've had many conversations, and we feel we're in a good spot. You know, we look at it that, again, even if initially a lot of or consistent amount of our product goes, let's just call it on a wholesale level, where the market is and the needs today, and the pricing today is very strong, and that would be very, very positive for us. Again, the philosophy is do everything we have to do now to be the low-cost producer down the road, and then we can fill in. We can fill in with products as the market moves more to edibles and other types of creams and stuff. We can move into that. We can look at possible acquisitions. We can do branding at some point in time. So, you know, we feel that as long as we get the low cost right and solidify our longevity and sustainability long term. But specifically, we're in discussions across a lot of different tiers, and I would limit it, you know, to that answer at this point.
Gotcha. And they tend to be more on a spot basis, or are people looking for sort of multi-year commitments?
I think it goes both ways, where we think it's beneficial for us, but at the same time, we're not, I don't think we're necessarily interested in very short-term spot type of arrangements. But on the other hand, we still want to reserve enough capacity to continue our product development going forward. So I think, you know, we probably look in the realm of, you know, two-year type of arrangements going down the road. I mean, a lot of things can change. You know, we look at the industry every day, and, I mean, when we cut through it, it's really a question of execution by all the other LPs and meeting capacities that have been talked about. I mean, there's, as you know, this weekend there was a lot of flow on people's belief stemming from there won't be enough capacity till there'll be too much capacity. But at the end of the day, it really is the execution issue of many of these companies. Can they scale up? Can they deliver what they're going to say? So from a timing situation, we want to remain very flexible as we see how the market develops.
Gotcha. Okay. And, you know, regarding potential, you know, decision on D2, is this sort of a binary event? Is there a date where you'll be able to announce, you know, we've made a decision, or you just, you know, we'll know when we know? Any kind of color you can give on, you know, timing and, you know, what we should expect?
Well, I could answer it this way, that from a strategic perspective, we're looking long, you know, we're looking down the road 2-3 years. So based on strategy, I think we already know what needs to be done, when it will be done, how it will be done, especially with completing now Delta 3 and, you know, constantly looking at the regulatory changes from Health Canada. So it's not like it's not being designed, worked on, and both from a strategic side, the operational side, as well as capital costs and conversion, and, of course, the timing. So, you know, if those decisions are made, they will be made with already the work being done moving forward. Not like Delta 3, you know, we scrambled pretty quick to get that going once we kicked it off. But here we would be in, I think, a much stronger position. And, of course, you know, things like securing an additional 24 megawatts are very important, too, and that's been done. But, you know, we just aren't in a position on this call, or neither one of us, you know, us and our partner today, to talk about if and when specifically.
Okay. And in terms of you know, staffing and management of the JV, you know, you're out there. You said you were looking to have a president and CEO at the recruiting. Any sense of timing? Are there any you know, leading candidates already identified, or?
It's a work in progress right now as we speak. We're not procrastinating, so we communicated that very clearly last year that we would start that process once we received our cultivation license, and once we were, you know, very confident that legalization of a recreational market would come to fruition. And those events have just taken place very recently, or at least the second one, we believe, you know, we're much more confident will happen. So that is in progress right now, and we formulated the type of individuals and candidates we're looking for, and we're pursuing that as we speak. So, you know, we said that that would all come to play this year in 18, because our production is still fairly low for 18, as you know, and this enhancement we're doing, again, will impact 19 much stronger. So we think we're, you know, perfectly timed. The way we look at it, and, you know, we're perfectly timed to start that process now, and it is in work.
Perfect. Okay, and a final one for me, regarding the cost of the acceleration, you know, I guess you were saying electricity, labor, those are all kind of variable costs. I would imagine the only real, you know, fixed costs would be the equipment rental. Any sense of how much that might run, or?
Well, we've modeled all that out. Steve, I mean, do you want to get some insight on that? But it is rental, you know, it's just, we're not purchasing anything. It's just rental. There's many units on the market worldwide. They're built up on pallets and they're shipped in containers. So it's sort of a plug-and-play deal for a period of about 5-6 months. But from a cost perspective, as we said earlier, it's accretive. I mean, do you want to share some light on that, Steve?
Well, it wouldn't be in our best commercial interest to share that. So we're in discussions with some suppliers that do supply cogens on a short-term basis. These cogens are essentially in shipping containers and shipped around the world for temporary use. So we're in discussions.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Semple with Echelon Wealth Partners. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Congratulations on receiving your cultivation license. Big win for the business. My first question is on the starting materials at the Delta 3 facility. Specifically, you know, how much starting materials are in there? How many square feet do you initially plan to plant in the first quadrant? Any color on the ramp up there would be appreciated.
Well, we have an array of strains. I think for our initial test for Health Canada, we're at 5 or so, and we're working on a lot of different strategies on those particular strains. But as far as the 250,000 first quadrant, we are going through next phase of approvals with Health Canada, but we believe that we will have that entire quadrant planted out. It's a ramp-up planting out that's occurring from this month, April, with the whole 250 planned to be in full production by the end of May. And then we're substantially down the road on quadrant number two, and we're planning to have that 250,000, if all goes well with our approvals, of course, with Health Canada, to have that planted out in the August-September time frame, which will bring us up to 500,000 square feet. So that gives you a little flavor on the next 3 or 4 months down the road.
And it's typically 3 to 4 months later we can start seeing the first yields from these planted plants. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that would be contribution from the second quadrant kind of end of year and the first quadrant kind of mid-July-ish.
Yeah, and then allowing about a month in post-harvest drying from the point of harvest. So, again, you know, waiting to see when the actual, besides our sales license, when will, in fact, legalization commence? Will that be July or August or September? Yeah. So.
Okay. Thanks.
All in that same time.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Just on the cogeneration, could you walk us through maybe some timing on when you expect these to be installed? Would there be any downtime with installing them?
We're not generating, we're just generating electricity, so we won't be extracting any CO2 off the system. So just pure generation, looking to install half of them at the end of August, the other half in September, and go operational at that point. We're generating supplemental lighting, and then run that to about March of next year. Then, of course, we go into abundant light, so now we're shading those rentals. Will be gone, and then by the fall we'll be operating on our own internal capacity off of BC Hydro.
Okay, great. Thanks for the color there. And just finally, on the transition from your Mexican supplier partner, what was the reason for the change there, and when can we expect to see volumes get back to more normal levels?
On the produce side?
So we
basically ever since we started operating with partners in Mexico in 94 or 95, and we actually are on our third partner, which actually isn't unusual in Mexico. I mean, we didn't own any assets, and Village Farms never took an approach of investing equity in Mexico. Depending on NAFTA talks, which I don't necessarily think are going to impact horticulture favorably for Canada, the U.S., and looking at Mexico, at some point we are now looking at Mexico in a different light. We may be much more involved there in the future than we were in the past. However, our current partner is a very, very large, multinational company. We feel very secure with who they are in building brand new additional capacity going forward. And that was a big part of our change. It's an exclusive arrangement between Village Farms and them. And we are working on additional capacity, not just this year, but next year going forward. And as we convert or plan to convert more assets in Canada to cannabis, we're actually just much more focused on production in the U.S. and Mexico. First of all, remember I had said previously that 50 to 60% of all greenhouse grown vegetables in Canada are exported to the U.S. and nearly 100% from Mexico to the U.S. So the U.S. is the market. We would clearly look at developing additional assets in the U.S. Very close or adjacent to the markets we service. The problem today is the immigration policies and the ability to get labor in the U.S. that's also productive. So I don't think that's on the cards anytime soon, just as we would never develop or put new equity into capacity in Canada any longer for vegetables. And that's assuming that NAFTA stays or in some form does. So I think at some point that's why we're looking more supply agreements in Mexico to make up the difference of the supply in Canada going forward.
Great.
And
really
I would just finish
that
by saying there's always a possibility for us looking at assets in Canada, assets to be acquired as opposed to build. That's my point, was building new greenhouses would not be in the cards, but possible acquisitions could be.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarity there. I'll turn the call over now. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to Michael DiGiulio.
Okay, on behalf of Steve, myself, the rest of the Pure Sun Farms team, thank you all for participating today, and we look forward to further reporting after the first quarter in May. Thank you. Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.